Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you. Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff. We're entering into episode 2 of our second season after our long break that we had, our couple of years off. Look at us girls. We've actually managed to come back for episode 2.
Amazing.
And stick to it, which is very exciting. And hats off to all of us. What we thought we'd do, we've been having a little bit of a chat over this last week or so since we recorded that first episode, just around a new format or a loose format for how these episodes are going to roll. And we just want to keep it as current and as, I guess, relatable to all of our listeners as we possibly can. So the plan moving forward is obviously it'll be a bit of a chat about where things are at and what we've been up to, but just a bit of a framework with some prompts that we're going to be, or some questions that we'll be answering. And that'll be things like, where are we currently at? How we're feeling at the moment? What's feeling good for us? What we're struggling with? And what we need right now? So what kind of support or help we might be needing with something? And we'd also love to open it up to some responses or a question to you guys out there and how you're feeling or what you might be having a struggle with, and we can have a bit of a riff on that question as part of our episodes and our conversations moving forward. So just encourage all of you to jump into our, we're saying Instagram, I think, at this stage, our Spreading the Good Stuff Instagram page. If you've got any questions or you're happy to share something that you might be struggling with and that you'd like us to have a bit of a chat about and share our own experiences on, then we would love to do that moving forward.
Sounds
so
great.
Without any further ado, we'll jump into it. We might throw to you first, Katrina. You've had a lot going on in your life over this last week, something very special to share with us, and Christy and I are itching to hear all about it. So can we start with that?
Yes, absolutely. So I guess sort of my feeling start with is our first thing to cover off, and I guess I am feeling quite grounded, content, like a lot of love, and also just in this kind of, just grounded, kind of loved up sort of feeling, but also like reconnecting back into the real world. So I've been on a crazy retreat for a week. I call it crazy, not really crazy, but like just pretty intense experience, really. So it's 7 days in the Hunter Valley. It's called the Path to Love Retreat. They do them all over the world, and they've been doing them for about 30 years. And it basically takes you through a process that they've sort of refined, you know, over the years. It's a sort of a spiritual process. It's very meditation-based, all sorts of different meditation, you know, silent, active, listening. There's a lot of sharing, a lot of sort of guided, facilitated sharing. It's a really full-on process. And then when you're not in the workshops and all the kind of sort of working with the groups and in the facilitation process, it's all silent and there's no phone. So you're in complete silence outside of the activities, and you hand your phone in on the first day. And honestly, that was the best bit. I love the silence. Absolutely loved it. I thought I would really struggle with that because I'm such a talker. Oh, but it was so nice. You don't have to think about what you're going to say to someone. You don't have to explain yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, and it's all about going as inward as you can. You know, like it's all about just really focusing on you inwards, really getting that full awareness of what's going on for you, connecting fully inwards to your heart. So the best way to do that is to not have to talk to anyone else or think about anyone else, you know. So incredible process. Like the first few days is quite brutal, and then it sort of like gets better and amazing, and you come out of it just feeling so loved up and just so beautiful, and it's incredible. So I'm feeling all the feels of that right now, to be honest. And I'm still like, they talk about, you know, they sort of tell you that you might have a bit of a rebound when you come out, like you'll go back because you finish it on such a high. You just feel so amazing. And then they sort of say, like, you know, just be ready for the sort of what might happen afterwards. So it's been interesting to sort of observe, yeah, like how I'm settling back into everyday life. But, yeah, just feeling a really strong – I actually felt that spiritual connection, which I had never kind of, I guess, recognized before is what I would say. So I have felt it before, but I didn't know that that's what it was.
Wow.
And so it was really cool to experience that with a group of other people. And then when they shared what they'd experienced and they described it as a spiritual experience, I was like, oh, I have that all the time then. Or I had that, you know, not all the
at
time,
what point,
but I had it.
At what point did you, was that just an overall feeling, or was there a moment over the course of that week that you felt it? Or was it after
moment.
You could just look back on it?
No, there were different moments during the experience, like during some of the silent meditations and some of the active ones, and just like there were various moments throughout where I was like, oh. And also just that, so I've been very in my head about trying to have an awareness of consciousness and, like, you know, the spirituality side of things, like just trying to, like, think it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always known that it's actually just a feeling and you have to embody it and it's a feeling and all that kind of stuff. But I guess I've just never had that full awareness of what the experience actually was. So it was just incredible to have that experience and to actually feel it and to be like, ah. And it's sort of like almost that reassurance. When you get that feeling and you have that feeling, it is that knowing that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, sure. And so I think it's a really safe, protected space as well for you to experience that. And I wanted to ask you, Katrina, like, is it something you've always wanted to do, and why did you actually want to go and do it?
Good questions. Okay, so I have always wanted to do, like, obviously I've been meditating now for, I don't know, 9 years. And I have had they talk about the longing, you know, and that wanting to have more connection, more of a spiritual connection, but also just more of a connection to myself and discover more layers, go deeper, understand myself better, all of that. So I'd wanted to do like a 10-day Vipassana silent meditation. I'd been looking at doing one of those, and my mentor, Jack, from The Broad Place, who collated that very special book that we love, Signpost Back Home, she did it last year, and it was when I was studying with her, and she said, it's amazing, do this. If you want an experience that's, you know, a next level experience, you'll get more out of this than the Vipassana one. And so, yeah, so it was on her recommendation. And I tell you, like, the couple of days as I was going into it, I was shitting myself. Like, I was like, what am I doing?
What was your greatest fear?
Not knowing what was going to happen. Like, what are they going to do to us? What's going to happen? What sort of experience am I going to have? Because she'd said, like, there'll be moments where you want to leave when you're there. Like, from me and a bunch of friends who've done it, like, there's moments where it's really tough and you'll think, God, what am I doing here? So I was like, oh, what's going to happen, you know? But that's all part of it. And, you know, one of the big things they talk about is just walking towards your fear, you know. It's like the metaphor for life, like move towards the fear. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where all the growth happens. So, yeah, it was beautiful and incredible. And, yeah, not sure I would, like, recommend it to everybody. I think every human being should do it because they would get so much out of it, but also, like, it's the sort of thing you've kind of got to get to by yourself.
So what did the setup or the structure of each day look like? Did they look the same? Was each day different, and how did it look?
Yes. So every day is sort of different, I guess. It's kind of structured a bit. Yeah, like, it's, how would you say it's structured? There's activities. You do the same meditation every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like a set meditation. That starts at 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
They wake you up, and then you go straight into sort of an hour long meditation, and then there's sessions in the morning, lunch, and then sessions in the afternoon, dinner, and then like more sessions in the evening. You're sort of in bed usually by like 9:30, which is nice. So just an incredible experience. And there's things that happen on the last few days that they ask you not to kind of share, because a lot of it is about trusting the process. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to spoil it for other people by telling them what happens, because you need to not know so that you can really let the process unfold for you. So,
mm-hmm.
How
did you find it not having your phone to be able to reach for at different times, or even just to check in with how the kids were, or did you find any of that?
Check the weather.
There was actually, that was probably the only thing. I was like, oh, it'd be nice to check the weather. But other than that, and like, because I'd actually, because they said to me, Like, if you really need to call the kids one night, you can, you know.
Okay.
But Tim and I talked about it and we're like, well, actually, I think it's better if I don't, you know.
And he
like,
could reach just... you if he needed to. Sure.
Exactly. That's right. So he had all the numbers and they give you all the numbers. So if there's an emergency or anything, you know, someone will get onto you. But otherwise, yeah, I just loved it. It's such a freeing feeling. And then by the end of it, no one wants the phone back.
Yeah. Awesome. Like, keep it.
Put it in the bin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So have you found it challenging coming back home to normal life, mainstream life?
Not really. For me, it was, you know, because so there's lots of things that I was dealing with underneath, like deeper layers of, you know, dealing with sadness and grief around dad and all that kind of stuff that I sort of didn't realize I was dealing with. But what it made me realize is, and have a, just a huge appreciation for is the life that I have, you know, like I was just, I'm already extremely grateful for it, but it just made that even more, you know, like I have so much love. It's just, there's just so much to be grateful for and thankful for and just more love for the kids and Tim and all that kind of stuff, really. So I actually just was so looking forward to getting home by the end of it and just so excited to see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's lots of people dealing with lots of different things and lots of people who are really lonely and you think, gosh, like I'm just so grateful for all the beautiful love that I have and all of that. So if anything, it's been, yeah, just more reaffirming of like it's actually, yeah, I'm really lucky and blessed and I love the life that I'm living. So that was really lovely.
And it is really hard to have that perspective on life when you're so deep within it. And Lee and I were just having a chat before we started recording about how busy everyone is. That, you know, busy again that we have often talked about on this podcast over the years. You know, it's just the first 2 months of this year have just gone so fast. And when you're really busy in it, you do get frustrated with the little things and you don't have that bigger picture of how lucky we are. I mean, you know, of course, there's people struggling all the time with challenges, but generally, like, you know, most people could say they're pretty satisfied with their lot, you know, with their life.
Mm. That's right. And often it's just about kind of actually coming back home to that and realizing that and appreciating it, you know, and it's just a sort of, yeah, peeling back those layers so you can actually be in the moment and enjoy what you've got, you know.
Yeah.
And we take a lot of it for granted and I think there's so much in it. So I think, yeah, it's really nice to have that experience where you can, yeah, come home and feel like that. And I'm really grateful. It is a bit like when you come out, you're a bit like sort of everything's overstimulating, like going around the airport, I was like, holy shit, like there's a lot happening here because you've been tucked away for 7 days with, you know, no outside communication. So that was a bit weird. But, yeah, overall it was just very lovely to get home. So
when you often hear you know, spiritual teachers and leaders speaking about moments of experiencing, you know, enlightenment, such, whatever that means to different people, but do you feel like you got as close to experiencing that as, you know, what you ever have before through those 7 years?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as enlightenment. I don't know. I don't think enlightenment is I don't even know if that's actually achievable. I don't know, like, unless you, yeah. So, what I would describe it as is just that I really felt that just full, complete connection to awareness, consciousness, my heart, love. And you can't, it's really hard to put it into words because you actually can't articulate it on an intellectual mind thinking level. Like it's just a feeling.
Yeah.
And it really is that connection inwards. And so, yeah, it was that in itself was just phenomenal to experience because when you reach that place, it is that all knowing that everything is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so lovely to know that I do have that inside me and I can tap into that.
Yes.
When I want to. And I think that is just, that's really hard to explain to people. Like, and it's very hard to, and you know, now that book, that Signpost Back Home book, like I read that now and it's got a whole new meaning. And I'm like, oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just so
it's funny how you can come to things from a different space and things just look completely different. And I've really noticed that in the last couple of weeks doing this yoga teacher training, particularly doing the, you know, yoga philosophy side of it. And it's sort of stuff I thought I knew a little bit on the surface, but as I've dived deeper into it, I have just got this whole new perspective on things and you just look at things completely differently. And I'm only like 2 weeks into that kind of education process and it has literally blown my mind already.
Mm.
And it's the joy of life and learning and growing, isn't it? Mm. Different ages and stages of life, things reach you differently and speak to you differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. So how are you guys? That's probably enough about me. That's how I'm feeling and where I'm up to. What's going on?
Okay. So we know how you're feeling and what's feeling for you. Anything that you're struggling with?
Stay on me. Okay. Anything I'm struggling with. So what I would say is I have been thinking about what I'm struggling with is what I realized was. So what I realized when I got there was the thing that I still lacked or that I was longing for was to really feel love.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I've got so much love in my life, but it was that feeling and that true knowing that I am actually loved and lovable. And, you know, like I still struggle with that, obviously from losing dad at such a young age and in that way and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm struggling with now that I'm back into everyday life is actually accepting that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel, because I had these really profound experiences in the retreat of feeling all these feels. And it was awesome to be able to actually feel the feels in that space. So now I'm back out in everyday life. It's the struggle of actually feeling all the feels in the real world. Well, actually, I mean, they call that the real world, in everyday life. and being sort of okay with that and understanding how that plays out. Like even this morning, so like Pops was, you know, having a bit of a meltdown, didn't want to go to school. And my first reaction was to get angry. I was like, you've just got to go to school. And I was observing how I was responding. And I was like, hang on a minute. I am angry because I'm actually sad and worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm actually worried about it and I'm sad and I'm feeling like, you know, so it was a fear, mm-hmm. but I was acting out as angry.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, so then I had to like, so I knew what was happening. I had to like stop, calm myself down. And then it was just so cool because I can explain that to Poppy. I said, mate, this is not your thing. This is my thing. Mum's angry because I'm actually sad and worried about you and I'm not expressing my feelings very well. And I was like, oh, this is really cool because I could actually live this out, even though I'm still shitty with myself that I got angry in the first place. But it's like that new level of awareness around how it's playing out and being able to talk to her. So,
and how quickly you could catch yourself in that moment. All those things you could go through. This is how I'm acting, but what's the emotion sitting behind that? And then being able to talk her through that. That's so exciting.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And we all find ourselves in those positions, don't we, where we don't respond in the way that we want to. And I think it's great for, you know, your kids or people around you, your loved ones, to actually hear you say, you know, you're sorry for that and this is why. Because I think apologising for it, I used to think it was a sign of weakness, you know, apologising a long, long time ago.
I think in the generation that we were raised in and the way our parents raised, that's how it was seen.
Yeah. But now it's
definitely.
And now, the kids kind of go, oh, okay. And then they're better at it too. Like they're, because, you know, it's all about, you know, them learning from your actions as well. So not that we always get it right all the time, but I think it's important for them to know it's okay to hand up and say, oh, I acted poorly and, you know, this is why. It's so important.
It reminds me as you were speaking there, Katrina, too, when you were talking about just that struggle with integrating those sorts of feelings in life, and particularly because you're a really positive person and you know, you like to have that really optimistic outlook on life. So now if you're talking about integrating these feelings as well, I listened to a podcast, and you may have already heard it, an episode a couple of weeks ago. It was, I think it's an older one, but it was with Brené Brown on Unlocking Us. She interviewed Suzanne Cain across two episodes, and it was something like loss. It was about loss and longing and how that makes us whole. And they were just talking about the importance of, and it sort of touched a little bit on toxic positivity as well, and how we need to be really careful to not ever fall into that trap.
Wow.
And how we need to embrace all the range of emotions, so the good stuff as well as those challenging parts that we're struggling with, and that things like loss and longing do make us whole. And there's a whole kind of section, so this Suzanne Cain's written a book called Bittersweet, and it's just I can't kind of give a good overview, just it is a long one across two episodes, but I just honestly I felt like they were speaking to me in that episode, because it was all about people who are like really highly sensitive and feel things deeply in the world, move through the world feeling it. So that introversion, but also not the melancholy, but the bittersweetness of life. And that has been me since I was born. So just as you were speaking, I'm like, you should go and have a listen. Really, really, really powerful.
And I think in our society too, like, you know, you see it in lots of areas, like people just want to hide from loss and grief and longing, and everything needs to be perfect, like look perfect and be perfect. And that's just not reality. I feel like it's an expectation that people just cannot achieve, but that's what we're sold, you know?
Yep.
So I think it's great to sort of lean into it and embrace it. And it was, when you were talking about that too, Katrina, I was reminded again about that, you know, the suffering, and, you know, suffering is normal part of life, and that's what I've been learning in this training as well. But it's equipping yourself with the tools and the capabilities to actually cope so the suffering is lesser than it would be otherwise, you know. And that's, I think that's almost the key, isn't it?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think also a lot of the things that we're doing, you know, at the end of the day, I could pretty safely say that every person that was at this retreat, the thing that they were longing for was love and connection.
Yeah.
Like, and I think every human being just wants love and connection. Like, you boil it all down.
Yeah.
And that's the longing, you know, but yet we all put on, you know, and through no fault of our own, usually it's the way we're brought up or things that have happened to us over a lifetime of things. We all put on these masks and we, you know, we do all these things that actually we think will give us more connection, but it actually does the opposite, you know. So we're all trying to, like, make it look like we're all perfect on the outside, do all these things, like you say, but actually that's actually what separates us from true connection, because true connection is being vulnerable, it's saying how we're really feeling, it's, you know, dealing with all the highs and lows and all the sufferings of life and living it, and then that's what leads to the love and connection. So we've all sort of got it backwards. And like you say, Chris, everything in today's society basically
geared towards is, that. Yep.
And separating us from ourselves and from true connection. So it's almost like rebellious to go and do this work.
I know.
To be, you know, doing something that's so against the norm. So, yeah, so that was...
That's amazing.
Phenomenal experience.
And all the other stuff, I think, you know, when you say love and connection, all the other stuff around that is just furniture and crap, isn't it, really? Like, it's, but it's not how we're kind of led to believe.
Exactly.
So, Eli, we'll give Katrina a breather.
Let's share around a bit.
Kind of marinate in that. I'm not sure what to say after it.
I know. It's hard to come after.
It's something that I'm going to do. Absolutely.
Same, me too.
To do it. We better not do it at the same time.
No, we better not. No. Eventually.
Different groups.
Thank you for sharing that. Very, very beneficial. And I'm sure weeks go on, there'll be even more to come from it. You're only a few days out now, aren't you?
Right, exactly. I think that's it. It just keeps evolving. And, you know, that's the big thing. The work never ends. And that's what they always say. Like, I think we can make the mistake of thinking that, oh, we go off on a retreat and then we'll be in line and everything will be fine. And it is never like that. Like, you never, ever reach. There's a great, actually, I must find it. Osha does a great talk about the goose in the bottle. And he sort of explains this, like, we always, I'll share it, because it explains exactly this, how the work is never done. We're always keeping growing, evolving. It's life, you know, and if we don't have life challenges or life problems, it's bloody boring and we may as well just go and sit in a room by ourselves and not worry about things. So, you know, like, we have to have the challenge and the struggle. So
very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lee, how are you feeling? Tell us where you're at.
Two words, I think, for me. I was thinking about this before. I'm feeling weary, but I'm feeling really calm. And I'm weary because the number of things, and I spoke about in our last episode, that work, the splendid word, business for me is just as busy as it's ever been. And I think already had two really busy months, and the next 4 months are going to be flat out. So I have closed the books, but it is just chock-a-block. But on top of sort of that, I actually got my diary out the other day and had a look back. Yesterday was our first Sunday at home that I could remember in just the longest time, and I was feeling quite weary, and I pulled out the diary and I was so shocked to find that we hadn't had a weekend at home or with nothing on since the 5th of November. I added that up, and that was almost 20 weeks weekend.
Literally, like, at the... when all that flood stuff
happened. The floods happened, and then as soon as we kind of came out the other side of the floods, then from that period through until this weekend is gone, and Christmas in the middle, and so much work on at that time, our weekends had been so chock-a-block with so many different things, like kids' sport and rep sport and travelling weekends. Basketball just takes up so much of our life with the three boys all playing it and playing domestic and rep. But just, you know, family things and other, like, lovely, all lovely things, and, you know, live music and, you know, all really great stuff. And but I don't think we've ever done that in our lives where we haven't had time in between to rest and recover. And I said it to my husband yesterday when we were both, it was a very slow morning. And I just looked at him and said, oh, I'm just so weary. And he was like, me too. And, yeah, when we looked back at it, we just couldn't believe it. So, anyway, moving forward, we've got a full weekend next weekend and away again. But then after that, we were meant to have another rep basketball weekend away in Orbiradonga for 3 days, and we've just pulled out of it. And Craig's a coach as well, so that makes it very hard. But we and the kids playing means they're not going to get to play in their teams, but we just were like, enough. We just have to pretend that weekend. So that's a long weekend. And it was an extra tournament thrown in that actually wasn't on the calendar anyway. So we've now got that weekend and then the following 2 weekends after that with nothing in the diary. And the boys just like, and we cannot put anything in there. We just have to
protect it.
Protect that time and lay low and, I don't know, just rest and recover. And we were saying, gosh, if we're feeling like this, I wonder how the kids are going. They seem to be okay. But anyway, that's why I'm feeling weary. But I'm also feeling calm because even despite all that's been going on kind of socially and kids and life and then with the work side of things, I've been working really hard because I knew that I had been quite close to burnout. I've been working really hard to just bring in some tools and practices that I know help me kind of compartmentalize things and be able to switch off, because I think that's probably the next thing I would dip into, was what I do struggle with is when you're running your own business is it just feels 24/7. And, you know, having a team of 9 other freelancers who all work different hours, nights, weekends, different times, it means I'm getting inputs coming in from everyone at different stages when they're finishing projects that they're working on. It's, you know, I'm contactable sort of 7 days a week. And then clients as well. Even though I'm very careful to not work weekends and not too much during the night, that it's still hard to stop it coming in because there's so many different ways people can reach you. That's probably a thing that I struggle with. But why I am feeling calm is because I am, and this might be helpful for other people, because whether you're working for yourself or working for somebody else, we are definitely in this era at the moment of jumping in, you know, in and out of so many different things, and just our focus being taken away by all the different distractions that are coming the whole time. So what I've been doing is really focusing on one thing. And it's so funny, I've been doing it for probably 6 weeks, and this morning my business coach, who I worked with last year, Prue Chapman from the Owners Collective, she did a little video this morning talking about the power of doing one thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. which is how I've been doing it. I mean, my to-do list every day is so long, but I'm scheduling it out. I look at what I've got, what projects I've got to get through that day, what client work I've got to tick off on, but I'm then scheduling it in my physical planner of, you know, from 8 a.m. to 9, I do this. So I'm really blocking it into maybe an hour or 2 hours, depending on what the nature of the job is, and just sticking at that one thing. I'm not looking at my emails for the first 2 hours of the day and just working really solidly for an hour or 2 hours on that thing. And it is so incredible how far it moves the needle compared to when your day is just dictated by all the other things coming in and out, and seeing that you've got 50 things you need to tick off on that day. And I never get through my list, gosh. But if I can tick off a quarter of it or half of it, I feel really good at the end of the day, and then I just roll the things on to the next day. But, yeah, and Prue was talking about it in her video this morning, was around this, it's called a switch cost. So it's when we do flip between different things, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, that the impact that switch cost has on our productivity. All the research shows that we lose 40% of our productivity through that switch cost. So you imagine how many times a day you flip between different things. No wonder, and I was getting caught in that trap toward the end of last year. I was just, you know, doing what needed to be done and jumping here and there and everywhere, and I felt like I just wasn't gaining any kind of traction or any ground, whereas over the last 6 weeks, I am just getting through a power of work. There's so much to be done, but I'm feeling calm because I feel in control of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's also, I think, it's putting you in control. You know, I mean, we're never in control of everything.
Yep.
But if you're in control of what you're doing at that moment, then it's got to have a more positive impact on just your mental state.
Mm.
Even though, as you said, you never get to the bottom of your list because you're always adding to it.
Yeah, because I felt before Christmas like I wasn't sleeping at night. I was waking up in the middle of the night and just going through all of the things I had to do and feeling really anxious. And
just never
it sort of had a hold of me. Whereas, yeah, this kind of approach and productivity approach is just making the world of difference. So weary but calm, and put some plans in place over the next few weeks and weekends. So I hope that I can report back in about 3 weeks and there's no longer that weary bit there, feeling maybe what would a better feeling be. Rejuvenated or
rejuvenated.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like that yin and yang of I feel weary but calm still, because, you know, I think that,
yeah,
because your body, you know, and just be having a busy physical life doesn't mean that you have to be crazy, you know,
I know,
in a calm,
and
in a
I do also look and think, gosh, for nearly 20 weeks having all that stuff on and I'm still standing and I'm still good.
Your health's good.
You know, I'm ticking off, or I'm meditating every morning, I'm getting to the gym every day, I'm
doing
the things that make me feel good, and I'm getting through the work and I'm feeling really good, like the kids are in, you know, all doing well and in a good place, and I feel like I'm not beating myself up too much around mistakes with parenting, or, you know, I'm feeling connected there and present with the kids. So I feel like that's something to really feel good about.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Awesome. Yeah, the struggle most of the time for me is just around switching off. And I have those days where I think, oh, it'd be easier to not be running my own business. It's 12 years, well, nearly 13 years now probably, starting The Splendid Word, and I have those moments of thinking, oh, would it be easier to just go and work for somebody else and then come home at night and not have that hanging over my head all the time? But I know that I would be so unhappy.
Yeah. Isn't always greener, that's for sure.
It's a trade-off, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. That's right. Yeah.
So that's the balance. That's
you.
It in a nutshell. How about you, Chris?
What's funny when you're going for you? Well, I'm pretty good actually. And it's funny when you're talking about that sort of weary and calm. Like at the moment, I feel really less busy than I have for many years, mainly because I just have less people at home. So that just makes your life, your home life, busy. So I'm feeling good in that respect. But then physically, my body has never been more sore in my whole entire life, because I think I did about 15 yoga classes last week. That's part of my yoga training. And I love yoga, and I feel my body feels good as far as it's getting really flexible, but I'm just sore because I've had to fit a lot in. So I'm finding that a bit of a challenge at the moment. And also just to keep on top of doing this course, which is so – it's really a deep dive, as I said before, into sort of the spirituality and you know, the 5,000-year-old kind of culture of yoga and, you know, and the history and where it came from and why. And I love all that. And it's a totally different world. But, you know, to sort of try and match that with, you know, the actual practical, actually getting the classes done, getting the content done, and then coupling that with your life as well. So I'm sort of got all these different balls in the air, like, which is great because it's filling up my days and my weeks perfectly, which is sort of the intention of doing the course, because, as I said, I've got, you know, an empty house pretty much. So
how's your flexibility?
Flexibility is really good, but I'm just really freaking sore. Like, I went for a swim and in the Murray yesterday morning with a friend, and I just noticed it, like just swimming upstream, like the back of my arms were just screaming at me going, what are you doing to me? And yesterday was the first sort of day for the week where I didn't do any yoga at all. So I'm just hoping my body will get used to it as I continue on. But I'm feeling really good about that. It's amazing. That's where I'm at. So that's pretty much my only thing I can report on at the moment is on, you know, neck deep in yoga, which is a great space to be. And I've done a few little classes with family and friends, and the feedback's been really lovely. And I've had people touch base with me about it, saying, oh, you know, you should run a men's class, or you should, you know, my daughter's saying, come to school and do it for the boarding house. And I'm like, okay, great. So, you know, and it's great to share that you're doing this stuff with your people or your community, because then you get the reassurance and the love and the support from everyone around you. So it's great. Yeah. So
I think because it is so physically demanding that, it's a real flip, isn't it? That to be really focusing on the physical side of things, it means that the emotional or the mental side of things are a little bit like you haven't got space for a lot of that.
Definitely. Although I have kept, you know, meditating every day, and part of the courses, that the content you have to do every week includes a meditation at least 5 times a week. And I still meditate every day for 20 minutes at 2 o'clock. Like that's in my phone, and I make sure I keep that. I've been writing in my journal every day still as well. And
but even just getting caught up in the everyday worries, the things that mental load.
Totally.
Sometimes when you're so physically spent, you don't even have the energy
to go there. And it's funny, when I did my first little practice class on the weekend, my daughter said to me, you know, I sounded really robotic and kind of like I was trying to go through a checklist of things, because she, I think, expected for me to sound really calm, and you know, I think that was what she expected of me, which is great. But I'm like, well, I do have a checklist of things I need to tick off, so it's that kind of yin and yang with, you know, getting it right because I want to get it right, and also just keeping the zen.
Well, that just comes from practice, though, the same as anything, practice.
Yeah, anyway, it's all good. So yeah, that's kind of that's pretty much me in a nutshell, I think, at the moment. And I just wanted to sort of, you know, from here just move into what we're loving, if we feel like that's the right time to do it. Absolutely. And I was just sort of thinking back to last weekend when I've been sort of, you know, kind of bathing in the glow of our Riverboats Festival that we had here at Echuca on the last weekend, which was amazing. It was right across the road. For those who live locally, the festival had to be shifted because of the floods at Aquatic Reserve, and it was held at Vic Park, which was amazing. And we had Spider Bait play on the Saturday night, who were from Finley, and they're a big 90s band for anyone in that generation. But what I loved about that, about them, was the hardcore rock and roll, which our teenage kids loved. But, you know, Cram, the drummer, who's quite well known, in one of his songs, maybe even the last song for the night, he did a big shout out to Benny Walker, our local beautiful First Nations singer here in town. And I just felt so proud. And then I noticed that Benny is like a headline for a beautiful music festival up at Tokemoor upstream in a couple of weeks. And then Barham have got their beautiful Riverside Festival. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, River Days.
River Days. Yes, and that's this weekend coming. And I just think, how lucky are we? And we all love going to Melbourne. And I've had friends who went and saw Harry Styles on the weekend, and, you know, like Sting was playing. Like, we're so lucky. We've been inundated with all these amazing musicians. And I'm sure Bruce Springsteen's coming like any tick at the clock. If you're listening, Bruce. Anyway.
Sure he is.
But we're so lucky to have all these amazing international acts, but all these incredible festivals right in our backyard. Mm. Like, and I'm going out to Caudwell for the Festival of Small Halls on the 1st of April. So Woodford Folk Festival have this amazing kind of thing that they did before COVID, where they send their artists out to, you know, small halls all over the country, not just in our neck of the woods. So Caudwell have had it once before, and that's where I grew up, for those who aren't aware, and it's on the Backroads Trail, which I spoke about last week. So I'm going out there to see a folk singer from Canada who I've never heard of before, and I can't wait. And I just think, how lucky are we to have those things happening? And it's not just about the music, because even for us, Riverboats Festival, it's about community and getting together and celebrating the, you know, what we have and the natural beauty, and something else I'm really grateful for as well.
And I think even supporting the Australian music scene after so many tough years that they've had, because I went to the Riverboats as well, like you, and then Red Hot Summer Tour in Bendigo at the weekend. Hi, Bernard, if you're listening.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
Chrissy Higgins, Paul Kelly, all those guys, and they did speak on stage about, thanks so much for being here, like, and supporting the Australian music scene. Like, you know, you could be in Melbourne at Harry Styles tonight, but you're here supporting these Aussie acts and
grassroots.
Yeah, that is really important.
We're very lucky, and I think we're lucky that we can enjoy the music, but also enjoy it in the middle of, like, you know, a beautiful, you know, grassed oval, or a, you know, by the river under a gum tree, rather than in a, you know, in the middle of the city. So we're very lucky, actually. I wish I could go to Barham this weekend, but I'm not going to get there, but I'm sure it's going to be well supported.
I hope so. Yeah, I think it's been, you know, it's been the first year for a while. So, yeah, I think it'll be good.
Yeah. So what else are you guys loving?
I'm actually loving, this is a bit of a work-related thing, but this really cool project that we're working on at the moment, or cool might not be the right word, but just really one of those ones that just feels so good to be part of. We're doing a 6-month campaign working with the Rochester Business Network at the moment. It's a marketing and social media campaign to help the business community there get back on their feet after the floods. So the campaign is Love Rochi, Shop Local, and it's really targeting not Rochester locals but all those people in the towns around Rochester. So your Echuca, Bendigo, Shepparton, Cray-Abram, even the small towns around and farming communities, to just, you know, when you're passing through that town, or to, you know, actually go and do a day visit and really support those businesses, get a coffee, get some lunch, buy a gift, whatever you can, because, you know, they're still such a long, long way off recovering. That the floods there, and, you know, it was only 10 years earlier that they were decimated by the previous flood. But you drive through that town and you can be mistaken for thinking that all is okay. But if you happen to go at nighttime and look through the homes as you drive through the streets, there's no plaster from, you know, floor to knee height. Pretty much in every single home that's been ripped out, all you can see is the timber through those houses.
And people living in their caravans.
And people in their caravans,
and they've got all this insurance crap happening at the moment. Like, it's really, really sad.
And, you know, so many people are still not living there. So for that little town to try and survive just on the people who live there when half the town's not there anyway is just impossible. So, yeah, it just feels really, really good to be working on this campaign with those guys and working really closely with all of the businesses in the community. We've got a photo shoot happening down there today and in a couple of days.
Right.
We're getting down to – it's really about beautiful storytelling around those businesses and a bit of the backstory of, you know, how they've been impacted and what they need from us and how we can help. So,
that's awesome.
You'll be seeing that pop up across social media starting next week. And anyone who is listening that is living in Victoria, that is able to get along to that beautiful little town and get in there and help support those businesses, then please do so. And even if you see any of the stories that we're sharing on the socials, if you can share those even wider too, that would be a great help for those guys.
And I think Rochi is so ideally located. It's sort of on the way to everywhere you're going, you know, whether you're heading north, south, east, or west, on the way to wineries and you know, other sort of great locations. I noticed one of the artists from Riverboats, Adelita, had called into the Rochi silo.
She did.
Which was fantastic, and little shout out. You know, even just, you know, her sharing that sort of to her community on social media is great for the town. So
and just helping them feel like they haven't been forgotten.
Of course,
because,
yeah.
You know, most other communities have moved on, but they have not been able to.
I agree. That's amazing.
Yeah, what about you,
Katrina? Great work.
What are you loving?
Yes, well, two things. One is I'm just loving love. Like, I just feel so loved up after the thing. And just like, I'm loving doing this with you guys, loving connection, loving the idea of like hope and possibility and, you know, the connection that I made with all these incredible people on this retreat.
Even though you couldn't talk to them.
Even though I couldn't talk to them. Yeah.
On a soul level.
Exactly, that's it. You connect with the real them, with their essence, you know, and it's really beautiful and really incredible and just, yeah, like being human and with all the challenges of that, and like just listening to you guys speak and just that, it's so lovely, and it must be so lovely for people to listen to us and have that bit of hope that like we're all going through life and shit, difficult things, and it's always up and down, but overall we all seem to have this essence of like, we're okay, you know, and listening to both of you speak, then that's what I heard. It was like, you know, like doing okay.
Yeah.
And as you know, and week to week, as you listen to our podcast, there'll be all sorts of things that will happen for all of us, but it's just, I love that idea that there is that hope and that humanity and that humility and that connection in all of us that like, and doing the work, we can be okay, you know, and it's just, that's, I'm loving that. I'm also just something that's very lighthearted. I'm reading Daisy Jones and the Six. I'm probably like way behind on this.
What's it called?
I think it's,
say that again.
It's called Daisy Jones and the Six.
Right. Hey, haven't heard of it.
I think it's been out for like a couple of years. But anyway, it's awesome. I'm really loving it. I didn't read it the whole time I was on the retreat because I didn't want to actually like, you know, I just wanted to be totally in it. But I was so looking forward to like getting back into it when I got out, and it's just a really like easy, good read, and I'm loving that. So that's just a good book if you're looking for something. Just
is it a series or just one book?
Just one book. Oh, I can't remember who the author is now.
I'll put it in the show notes for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just my kind of book, and I'm really enjoying it. So
that's so good.
Something else that I'm loving. Yeah.
I'm just loving talking to you too. It is great. And just a shout out to the show notes that Katrina just mentioned. We did have someone touch base wanting just to sort of clarify something we said in the episode last one. And we always put all the show notes, you know, we try and be really thorough. But if there is something that you hear and we haven't mentioned, please send us a message or connect to us, because, you know, we love to spread the good stuff about all the things that we do talk about. And often, unless you're, you know, writing it down or you know where to go find it, I know when I'm listening to my favorite podcast in the car, I'm like, oh, I need to write that down. But if I know it's in the show notes, I can go there when I'm not driving and check it out. Yeah. So
that's it.
Remember to, and they're easy to find. So if they're not, just shout out to us. But that's pretty much it, ladies, I think, for today. For as we said at the start, episode 2 of season 2. It's been a little bit of a gap between seasons, but we're so, so thrilled to be back with you guys. Thanks for listening.
It's so good.
We had so many listens of our first episode in a while, even before we kind of shared it on social media. So it's really lovely to know that we've got people out there in the world listening.
So many people have touched base.
I know.
Listened years ago and really excited to be back listening again. So that's just so cool.
And we're very grateful.
Thanks for hanging around.
It's so nice. And if you do listen and you think like it's going to help someone else as well, share it. And like, you know, because that's what spreads the good stuff even more, is to share it with your friends and tell them about it. Yeah, do all of that. That helps us reach more people. It's lovely. So
totally.
Thank you all.
We'll chat to you ladies in a couple of weeks then.
We will.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye.